This afternoon we have prophecy to listen to. Three parts. We have Brother Erich from Germany who will begin. We have Brother Nikolai Zoikas from Romania who will continue. And the topic is on the screen. Brother Daniel, do we have a topic here? The topic is Daniel 12. And there's one word to focus on in Daniel 12. And it's a word that describes our gathering. And it's the word blessed. Blessed are those who wait until 1,335 days. I'm very happy now to introduce Brother Erich Diegelhofer from Germany. Brother Erich. Austria, I'm sorry.
Liebe Geschwister im Herrn, das Thema unserer heutigen Betrachtung ist aus dem Buche Daniel.
For our consideration today is taken from the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verses 1 to 6. We will begin with verses 1 to 3. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. When we examine verse 1 more closely, we can ask the question, who is Michael? There is only one archangel in the Bible whose name is Michael. Michael means one like God. Jesus himself referred to the prophecies of Daniel with the following words. For then shall be a great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Matthew 24:21. We also know that these words were part of his answer to the question posed by his disciples when they asked him for signs of his second presence and the end of the age. Jesus clearly shows us that he is the Michael of prophecy, and that great tribulation and distress will mark the end of the age and his second presence. We know, dear brethren, that it is not only necessary for us to have a knowledge of God's great and precious promises in order to receive the divine nature and the inheritance of the kingdom, but also it is very important for us to understand the biblical prophecies which point to the time in which we live. If we didn't have this knowledge, we would certainly be just as confused about the events of our day as is the great majority of mankind. The present age will end, as it has been mentioned, with a time of trouble, the likes of which have never been seen. Even if we do not understand all of the symbols used in the Bible to depict this great time of trouble which is currently in the earth, there can be no misunderstanding that the present world will end, and that in God's new world, His promise to bless all the families of the earth will be fulfilled. Genesis 12, verse 3. We live today, dear brethren, in the presence of our Lord, and we see that He is invisibly making preparation for the future kingdom. Do we fear that this evil world is coming to an end? Do we fear the things which are coming to this earth? We can answer this question with no. We do not fear the future, but we do have great fear that we may not be able to finish the race set before us, and we have great reverence for our Creator. We rejoice that this present evil world is ending, and that it will be replaced with order, over which our Lord Jesus, the highest official, will reign. Galatians 1, verse 4. We are shown in many prophecies how the end of Satan's world was foretold, and that the nations of the earth and the many elements of society will clash and ultimately be destroyed. Therefore, many various symbols are used in order to better teach us the details. In the time of trouble, in which Satan's world will be destroyed, fire is the symbol. Fire is mostly known to man as an element of destruction, and it describes the furious human passions which lead to the unraveling of order. The end of the age is told to us beforehand by prophecies. In 1 John 2:15-17, it states, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." From these scriptures, it is clear to see that the world which passeth away is not the earth, but rather the social order of mankind on earth, which is called the world in this passage. The Greek word, which has been translated world is cosmos, which simply means order or arrangement. In this connection, and in other prophecies, the meaning corresponds to the general meaning of social order. In John 16:33, Jesus speaks to his disciples, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." In John 16:11, the adversary is designated as the prince of this world. It is consequently an evil world, a world which is characterized by sin, ambition, lust, oppression, crime, war, sickness, pain, and death. Yes, with all of this evil, we are right to abhor the world. Who wouldn't rejoice in seeing such a world come to an end? We do not rejoice in the terrible conditions and events throughout the world, but we rejoice because we know that the time is near when God, through His Son, will step in and bring an end to the horror. So, all thinking men should welcome any proof that the end is near and that a new world will take the place of the old one. A world in which goodness, peace, health, and happiness, yes, even eternal life, will be the inheritance to those who obey the laws of righteousness and right. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth will awaken, some to everlasting life, and others to shame, to everlasting contempt. Daniel 12:2. The prophecies refer here to the dead, who sleep in the dust of the earth, and here a very beautiful symbolic language is used, which reminds us of the lives of our first parents. When Adam was condemned to death, the Lord said, "Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Genesis 3:19. A similar expression is found in the prophet Daniel as a proof that all who have lost their lives because of Adam will be resurrected to life through the redeeming power of Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Daniel 12:3. Here we are told in this verse of two classes. The first class, the wise which shine as the brightness of the firmament, is the little flock. In Matthew 13:43, they are referred to as the shining of the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The second class, which shines forth as the stars, is a lesser light. This class is future kingdom is the class in which Daniel will be one of the princes of the earth. Psalms 45, verse 16. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Daniel 12, verse 4. But whether Daniel had a large amount of understanding given to him, or whether he was given visions, he had to close the book and seal it until the time of the end. When the time of the end would come, there would be more research and knowledge would be increased. It appears that the increase of knowledge, which came suddenly over the earth at the time of the end, contributed much to the prophesied time of trouble. We can clearly see the prophecies of Daniel in fulfillment today. And we see clearly that we are living in the time of the end. Our generation was given the opportunity to experience the fulfillment of this prophecy. Jesus already explained to us that his presence, parousia, would be like a lightning which comes out of the east and shines even to the west. Matthew 24, verse 27. The correct thought expressed by Jesus is that his presence would be characterized as a light or as a great worldwide increase in knowledge. In Daniel 12, 5 and 6, Daniel gives us a description of the conversation with the following contents. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? Let us closely consider the symbolic meaning of both of these verses. We know that water is a symbol of truth, and we can interpret the river as a flood, since much water causes flooding. Brother Russell wrote in the third volume of Scripture Studies that the time of the end had its beginning with the French Revolution. Many of the truths which flooded France at that time and were saturated with blood are generally accepted today by all civilized peoples and nations. But back then, these truths were too strong and too suddenly put into place. Here was a flood, with the end of papal power as well as the beginning of the days of temptation, or marked as the time of the end. Upon this flood, from a prophetic standpoint, stood the messenger of the Lord to proclaim the end of the time. Regarding the question, who was the man clothed in linen, we can answer. It was Brother Russell. He was the only man who could have been clothed in linen, and we know also that this pictures the righteousness of the saints. In Revelation 19, verse 8, it is written, "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." With even clearer and more direct words, we read in Matthew 24, verses 45 to 47, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods." I believe it is not difficult to recognize that the wise and faithful servant is Brother Russell. Dear brethren, I would like to end my discourse with the words of the Apostle Paul, who wrote to the Thessalonians, "We are the children of life and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 5 to 6. What happiness it is to live in this time of the end and not be in darkness, and to be able to recognize that meaning of these world-shaking events which are happening over the whole earth. The world is collapsing, and we are without a doubt very near the end of the time of the end. May this knowledge certainly cause us to look up and to lift up our heads, knowing that our redemption and the redemption of all mankind from death through the kingdom draweth nigh, yes, even at the doors. Luke 21, 28, and Matthew 24, 33. May God bless us all. Amen.
We have an unexpected change. Brother Nikolai was not able to come because of family problems. And so Brother John Pop will take his place. Brother John.
Iubiți frați, continuăm lecția noastră de astăzi,
beloved brethren, beloved brethren, our lesson today will be from Daniel's prophecy, chapter 12, verses 7 to 12, which we will first read and then try to untie its mystery. A mystery that was not explained to Daniel, the prophet of God, even if he was given the task of writing it. Here is the text. "And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto the heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished, to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth, and cometh to the 1,335 days. The book of Daniel contains a prophecy that fulfills gradually during the dominion of the four universal empires: Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. The verses that we will analyze today contain periods of 1,260, 1,290, and 1,335 years, periods of the Fourth Empire, the Roman Empire. Nowadays, it is not a secret anymore to the Lord's people that these dates, referred to as days, are in fact important years in the history of the Christian Church. The first period of 1,260 years is hidden in verse 7 under the name a time, 1 year, times, 2 years, and a half, half a year, totaling 3.5 years. In Revelation, we find the key that will open this lock of the time, which we will consider later. We return for a short time to the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verses 23-35, where we read, The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms upon the earth, and shall be tread the earth down, and break it into pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and to think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and a time and the dividing of time. We notice the similarity with chapter 12, verse 7, a time, times and a half. In both Daniel 7, 25, and Daniel 12, 7, there is the mention that the sons of the Most High will suffer because of a power or a horn during the Fourth Empire, the Roman Empire. This power of the empire, this horn, the papal horn or the papal power, was different than the other 7 powers of the empire. One said 7 and not 10, because 3 of them fell, and in their place came the papal system. In Revelation 12, verse 14, writes this, And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, times and a half a time, from the face of the serpent. The woman in Revelation represents the saints of the Most High in Daniel's prophecy. Now, we will find the key of the mystery. It is Revelation 11, verses 2 and 3. In verse 2, we are told that the temple's court will be trod underfoot for 42 months, and verse 3 tells us that the 2 witnesses will prophesy in sackcloth for 1260 days. Along the same line, chapter 13, verses 1 to 10, describes a beast, the same beast from the book of Daniel. Verse 5 relates that power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So 42 months of 30 days each equals 1,260 days, or 3.5 years, a time, 1 year, 2 times, 2 years, and a half of a time, half a year. It is obvious that both the prophecy from Daniel and the one from Revelation refer to the same events in the history of the real church and of the false church at the same time. They also refer to the same period of time, and these three symbols were coded so as not to be known until the time of the end. One, a times and a half, or 3.5 years. Two, 42 months. Three, 1,203 score days. Dividing the 1,260 days by 42 months gives us the length of each month in these prophecies to be 30 days. Those months, multiplied by 12 months, a literal year, form a coded year of 360 days, and not 365 days, the length of a literal year. These things are clear, now that the time of understanding has come. Something that had to be hidden in Daniel's day, it is important to be known now. That is, the 3.5 times represented 3.5 coded years of 360 days each, totaling 1,260 days. Those days represented just as many years. 1,260 days equals 1,260 years. By the calculation method given by God in Numbers 14:34 and Ezekiel 4:4-6, I have appointed thee each day for a year. Therefore, both the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation talk about the time of the papal reign, in which time the two witnesses, the Old and New Testament, as well as the people who supported the word of God, had much to suffer. This time is the period between 539 A.D. and 1799 A.D., when the decree of Justinian, the emperor of Constantinople, was applicable. The decree was given in the year 533 A.D., but was instituted only 6 years later, 539 A.D., when the Ostrogoth barbarians were driven away from Rome. This decree empowered the bishop of Rome as the leader of the entire church. In 1799, this period ended with Napoleon's overthrow of the papal power. We'll meet again with the year 539 in the book of Daniel, where this is the starting point for both the 1290 years of Daniel 12:11 and the 1335 years of Daniel 12:12. The 1290 years overlaps the second part of the 2300 years of Daniel 8:13-14. This prophecy concerns the first coming of the Messiah and the laying of the eternal sacrifice, Daniel 9:23-27, followed by the entire period of the uncleanliness of the sanctuary that culminated with the daily sacrifice being taken away, the abomination that maketh desolate being set up, the treading underfoot of the sanctuary and of the host, and eventually the cleansing of the sanctuary. The period of the cleansing of the sanctuary is from Luther's time, 1517, until Miller's days, 1844, during which the Reformers tried to heal Babylon, Jeremiah 51:9. In 1846, the Daughters of Babylon formed a union of the so-called Evangelical Alliance, separating themselves from the sanctuary class and leaving it clean, as told in Daniel 8:14. The 1290 years from Daniel 12:11 came to an end in 1829, the beginning of the Miller movement. That movement reached its peak in 1844 and had, as a result, the cleansing of the sanctuary 2 years later in 1846. This ended the 2,300 evenings and mornings or years. This movement was the crowning of the general tendencies of illumination and cleansing that the Lord triggered during this period throughout the Christian world of Asia, Europe, and America. The year 1829 is important by divine providence. The previously sealed meaning of 1,260, 1,290, and 1,335 days started to be revealed at this date, Daniel 12:10-11. The first two periods of 1,260 and 1,290 days are contained in the prophecy of the 2,300 days from Daniel 8:14. This started in 451 BC with the command to rebuild Jerusalem and ended in 1846 when the great unclean doctrines of the Holy Trinity, immortal soul, eternal torment, and others were taken away and the crowd of merchants was thrown out of the spiritual temple. The last period of 1335 years has its starting point in 539 BC, also, which takes us to the end of the 19th century and the year 1874. The angel Gabriel calls happy all those who reach this year, Daniel 12:12, Rotherham translation. Why is that? The happiness comes from the fact that 1874 is the year when the ones who were cleaned through the Reformed movement, the class of the virgins in Matthew 25, verse 1, saw clearly from the prophecies that the day is dawning and the morning star has arisen. Their dear Lord Jesus returned as bridegroom, as reaper, and as king. He returned to gather for God the first fruits, the members of his church, with whom he will turn the earth into a paradise, blessing all the families of the earth. This blessing will follow after he finishes the gathering all the week, burning all the tares and plowing the whole land in order to put the seeds in for a second harvest. The year 1874 is a large harbor in which lay many different ships from different cardinal points. The time doesn't allow us to talk in more detail about all the prophecies that connect the biblical chronology in Israel's jubilees to 1874. The year 1874 is the beginning year of the 7,000 years. It is the year when the seventh trumpet, which is described in Revelation 10:7, started to sound, revealing to his servants the plan of God in all its splendor. It is the jubilee trumpet that started sounding on all planes, in the ecclesiastic heavens and on earth. See Revelation 11:15-19. In this year, 1874, our returned Lord already had prepared a wise and faithful servant that he appointed to be the seventh angel, who will powerfully blow his trumpet in the ecclesiastical heavens and proclaim the following message of Revelation 11, verses 15 to 19. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. In earthly matters, in the year 1874, the first labor union in the world was established that protects, shouts, and fights for the rights of those who work. Since then, this shout extended from individuals to nations, bringing more and more people toward freedom and towards profiting from the goods of this earth that for centuries were available only to few. And this shout for freedom, this jubilee trumpet, continues to sound louder and louder, just as it did on Mount Sinai at the inauguration of the covenant with the temporal kingdom of God, sounding in the midst of the lightning that lights in all the human rights, in the midst of the thunder, the loud shouts for righteousness, and in the midst of the earthquakes and social revolutions, making the mountains crumble deeper and deeper into the sea. That is pressure on governments to come down to the requests of the masses. As in a type, during all this time, the whole mountain, the whole kingdom of this world that is about to become the kingdom of God, is covered with fire and smoke, the burning of all that is unrighteous, scaring the people with these unexpected manifestations to prepare their hearts to receive the new covenant of life from the hand of the antitypical Moses, Christ. The great jubilee of the earth has started. The great events of the Lord Jesus' reign have started. The year 1874 is the beginning of a week of years, similar to the 70th week of Daniel 9:27. That week of 7 years was the last week of favor for the Jewish nation. Its beginning was the year 29 AD, at the baptism of our Lord, and the beginning of his harvest work within the Jewish nation. In the year 33 AD was his triumphant entry into Jerusalem as king, and the condemning of Jerusalem. The year 36 AD meant the ceasing of favor for the Jews as a nation, and the entry of the Gentiles into favor as spiritual Israel, marked by the conversion of Cornelius, the first Gentile. In 1874, the reversal of that process started. It is the end of the last week of favor for the nominal spiritual Israel, the Gentiles, and the gradual start of the national favor of the Jewish people. similar to the previous time, the same king, not riding an ass, but in power and glory, enters his spiritual temple in the year 1878, in the middle of the last antitypical week of favor of the nominal spiritual Israel. The earthly Jerusalem receives also a small share of blessing. Prophecies regarding the Jewish nation begin to be fulfilled. These prophecies foretold the cessation of the curse over Jerusalem given by the Lord in the year 33 AD, a curse that lasted 1845 years until 1878 AD, the Congress of Nations in Berlin. That was a period equal to the time of national favor that they experienced prior to their rejection, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 2. The year 1878 was the year of the birth of a pair of twins, just like in Rebecca's case. The resurrection of the church and the resurrection of the Jewish nation from the valley of dry bones, Ezekiel 37. The year 1878 is also the end of the 1845 years of favor for the nominal church. It was cast away from divine favor as a system or channel carrier of life, shown by the choosing of a new channel that is used now. This happened because it became a Babylon of confused worry. It is the year when the shout of Revelation 18, verses 2 to 4 starts. Come out of her, my people. It is the time for the beginning of the gospel age harvest. The year 1878 begin the return of the planet into the dominion of man. The repossession of the land by the Jewish nation is the beginning of the glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles. Romans chapter 2, verse 10. Since then, the seventh trumpet announces a message of growing righteousness. The year 1881 is the end of the last week of favor for nominal spiritual Israel, during the Lord's second presence, when the fishing net was pulled to the shore. It is the year of the end of the general call, but it is not the end of the election or the closing of the door. The fishing net has been pulled to shore, and the sorting of the fish has started. The sorting of the fish is actually the separation of the true Christians from the other Christians, the other fish. It is the same harvest work as in the case of natural Israel, just that now it is represented by the separation of wheat and tares. The year 1881 is also the first symbol of the new transition, of the return of favor to the special instrument needed for this work. The Jewish nation, by which the blessing will be extended to all the nations, in this year, 1881 AD, the first year of agriculture was opened after only 3.5 years from the opening of Palestine's gates for the Jews. Therefore, these two workings, the heavenly and the earthly calling, are active together during this transition period. The first of them is decreasing, and the latter one increasing. Just as God says, through the prophet Amos, Amos 9:11-15. There would be many more things to say about the return of the favor to Israel, and about the resurrection of the church in the year 1878, also about the time given to the four universal empires until the year 1914, about the stone which smote the image of Danusu, and about many others. I end with the hope that we will have the opportunity to talk about those issues in our private conversations, in our correspondence, or at other conventions, until the fulfillment of the words of Jeremiah 31:34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. Until then, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear. May the Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother John. Thank you, Brother Gary, for these words. Oh, the blessedness is what it says in English. And we live in a very, very happy time. for all of us. I often think that these conventions are the epitome, the peak of this blessedness that we have together. There's an angel in Revelation also, and the Apostle John bows before the angel. The angel says to him, "Get up, I'm just like you. Get off of your knees, I'm just like you." And he continues and he says something else. He says, "Worship God because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." And I believe it's the testimony of the returned Jesus. This blessedness of knowing that Jesus is returned and doing a work in the earth. Blessed are our eyes. And Brother David Parkinson will end this meeting with prayer.